Today's shiur is Masechta Makos Daf Chaf Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Yochel Afilu Sar Al Beis Shenafal. If somebody made a srita, as the pasuk says, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, Tarek Dosha says V'seret L'nefesh L'sitnu B'besarchem. So says the Gemara, Yochel Afilu Sar Al Beis Shenafal. If somebody out of grief ripped his skin because his house fell, or his ship sank, Tamalima, the Torah says, with Seret Lenefesh, Ella, there is no chiyuv for this Avera, Ella, Al Nefesh, Ella Meis Blavad, only if he does it out of Tsar. And the Torah says that if it's not a tsar, if it's not a grief over a person who passed away, there is no isser at all. The Bach disagrees, and the Brass says that the fact that the Gemara uses the words veinu chayiv is an indication that there is no chayiv deraisa, but there is, the way the Achronim explained the opinion of the Bach, a chayiv derabonim. Umenayin, the Masarat Chomish Sritis al Meis Echad, if somebody ripped in his body five times for one person, shechayiv kolachas v'achas, he's chayiv for each one of those sritas. Tamloim is v'sorat. The extra vav in the word v'sorat comes to teach us lechayiv kol srita v'srita, that one is chayiv for each act of srita. Rabbi Yosi Emer continues the Gemara, menayin lemesarit al lemesarit srita achas al chamish meisim. On the contrary case, he only made one srita, but it was for the passing of five people. Shuchai v'kolach v'achas, that is chai five times. Tamloim nefesh. The fact that the Torah uses the word nefesh comes to teach us l'chayiv, I'll call nefesh v'efesh, for every person who is nifter, there is a chiv. V'afikdei asked the Gemara, how can we say that that's what we learn from the word l'nefesh? Ask the Gemara, have we not just learned that what we learn from the word lenefesh is to teach us that if it's not over the ptira of a person, then there is no chiv. So how could a pasuk be used to teach us that for every mace that one does so, he's chayv separately? Answers the Gemara, k'sava Rabbi Yosi. The Torah says two different isurim. The Torah says srita, v'seret l'nefesh le'sitnu, and the Torah says gedida, le'siskoidu. And Rabbi Yosi's opinion is, shneim, the both of them achashi, it's one avera, v'ksiv hasam, and there, by the din of gedida, the pasuk says le'siskoidu le'meis. So from here, that we learn already that gedida and srita only apply when one is doing this out of grief for a nifter, but not for any other situation of grief. If that's the case, so we don't need the pasuk of lenefesh to teach us this din, because we already learned it from srita and gedida, and by gedida it says explicitly that we're speaking about lemeis. So now that it's superfluous, and to teach us that, we could have the word lenefesh to teach us that for every mace there is a separate chiyuv. The Gemara did not give us a number for which there is a shear for which there is a chiyuv srita. So it seems that even the slightest cut will be osur, but it has to be in a fashion of srita. If it's not in a fashion of srita, of one ripping into his body, then it's not considered an act of srita. And that's why the Ritva points out that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Samches Omen Aleph teaches us that Rabbi Kiva, when Rabbi Eleza was nifter, was hitting his hands against his head over the pain, over the tzar, the grief, over the patir of Rabbi Eleza. And based on what we're learning in our shiur, we discussed this in our previous shiur, how was he allowed to do so if we're learning now that this is all prohibited, alameis? The answer is that it has to be in a fashion of Srita. And since it wasn't done in a fashion of Srita, that's why it's mutter. But as we also mentioned, Tosfos in Masechta Ksuba says that when we speak about doing this and this being usur, it's only when it's done because of a grief over a nifter. But there, what Rabbi Akiva was doing was a demonstration of grief over, was a demonstration of grief over the lack of the Torah of this great Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Lezer, who passed away. Daruch HaNer has a discussion where if to violate this Aveira, does it have to be done in a way that the Srita has a loss of blood? Or even if there is no loss of blood, it's still considered an act of Srita. Says the Gemara, Amishmul, Hamasarit Bekli, if somebody does this with a Keli, is Chayiv two Malkis, one for the Lav of Masarit and one for the Lav of Megadid. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, Gedida is primarily done with a Kli, with a knife, whatever. Srita is with the hand. And the fact that Shmuel says Hamasarit Bekli Chayiv, so it's very interesting. Shmuel did not use the words Hamagadid Bekli. Shmuel said Hamasarit Bekli. What's he teaching us? He's saying that part of what we're learning in our Shia today, that Srita V'Gedida Achasein, that Srita and Gedida all one and the same, what it really comes to teach us is that they both are done either with a keli or either with the yad. There are other Rishonim that have a little different approach to our Gemara, and their approach to our Gemara is that the Aveira that one will violate will be very much connected to the Hasra. If the Hasra was Masaret, then the person won't get a laugh from Megadid. And so too, vice versa, if the Aveira is going to be Gedid, depending on what was said by the Hasra. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, Srita V'Gedida, Achasi, El Srita B'Yad, V'Gedida V'Kli. So we see from here, ostensibly, that they're two separate Averis, and one is B'Yad, and one is B'Keli, and depending on what you did, that's what's going to be Avera. Answers the Gemara, who Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi, that disagrees with this, and says, as we said a few moments ago, that Srita and Gedida Achasi. Says the Gemara, Tana Tana Kamei, the Rabbi Yochanan, the person who taught the Brises, said in front of Rabbi Yochanan, if somebody makes a rip in his body, a mace, because there was somebody who was nifter, bein biyad, bein bekli, it doesn't make a difference how he did it, then the halach is chayav malchus. However, if somebody does so, avoid the zara, if that's the way he did it for Avadazar, Biyad Chayiv, if he did it Biyad, then he's Chayiv, Bekeli Potter. Bekeli is Potter. And the way, again, the Rishonim explained this Gemara, certain, as we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, certain times Avadazar are, you're always Chayiv for certain Avadas, and certain times you're not Chayiv. So the way it seems most Rishonim say that this was the Derech Avodah, this was the way they used to worship the Avodah Zarah. But there are other Rishonim that suggest that something which is in the category of Avodah Gemura, a real strong act, even if it's not the way that particular Avodah Zarah is worshipped, you'll be Chayiv. So again, Alvaris Kachavim Biyat Chayiv, Bekeli Potter. And again, either because it's what is considered an Avodah Gemura is the way to look at this Gemara, or what was the way that Avodah Zarah was worshipped. Ask the Gemara, but doesn't the Pasuk says that he's going to do Kamishpatam Becharvis Umarimachim? So it seems that actually using a Keli was the way that they used to worship the Avodah Zarah. When Eliyahu HaNavi, this Pasuk is a Pasuk in Melachim, when Eliyahu HaNavi gathered the people that teach them that Avodah Zarah is meaningless. At that point, they were worshiping the Avodah Zarah of Baal. And he said that everybody should prepare a carbon, and he's going to prepare a carbon to be brought to Hashem. The Nevi HaBaal are going to prepare a carbon to be brought to the Avodah Zarah, and neither group should bring fire. And the group that has the fire coming down for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will be fire that coming down from the Shemayim, that will be the proof that that is the real God. And the Nevi HaBaal shechted an animal, and they screamed and they yelled and they did this, as we learned. They cut into their body. Apparently, that was the way it was worshipped. But we see here that the way it was done was with knives. Al-Ema, so says the Gemara, indeed, we have to amend. Biyad, if it's done by hand, that's not the way the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped, and that's why it's potter. Clay chayiv. But the Rishonim, of course, make a very important point. Let's say we will have a Avodah Zarah whose way of being worshipped is by making these cuts biyad, then everybody would agree you're chayiv. Because, as we said before, once it becomes darka bekach, once it becomes that that's the way this Avodah Zarah is worshipped, then, of course, that carries with it a serious chayiv misa. We learned in the Mishnah, V'chayev al Rosh, when we spoke about the Peyas HaRosh, we said there are two on each side and one at the chin. Says the Gemara, Machi Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes demonstrated Ben Pirkei Reishai, as we discussed when we learned the Mishnah, the different opinions in the Rishonim, where exactly are the Peyas HaRosh. Peyas HaRosh means making the hair have straight, not leaving over any sideburns. Rav Sheshes demonstrated. Then we learned Al Zaken Shtayim Mikam Vatzmal Mata. And again, Machi Rav Sheshes demonstrated Ben Pirkei Dikya exactly what it means to have on the beard. It says the Gemara further. Rav Elazar Omer, we learned in the Mishnah, Im Noten Kulan Ka'achas. Says Rav Elazar, if you cut all the five payas that are on the head at the same time, you're going to be chayv only one malchus. Why? Says the Gemara, because Kusavar, Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that chad lav he, it all represents just one lav. Then a chayv, Mishnah continued saying, Achiyat lena betar, you're not chayv only if you cut it with a razor. Tanar Abonim, Tanar Agdosha says, Pas sekonam lo yigalechu, yocha fil gilcha b'misparayim, even if you cut your beard with a scissor, which when you use a scissor, you don't pluck the hair out of the root. Yechayiv, there should be a chayiv malchus. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says, loisashchus as pas zikonecha. So from here we learn that the iser only applies when it's hashchosa, that takes out the root, and that is with a razor. Iloisashchus, continues the Gemara, if we would say loishaschus yochel afil loktav maktavitni, that you have different instruments that cause the hair to go out, osu yichayiv tamaloymer loyigalechu. Using these types of different instruments, even though they pluck the hair out of the root, they're not the way normally shaving is done. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says loyigalechu. Hakeitzad, how are all these psukim reconciled? You only chayiv in a situation where you do geluach that causes it to be pulled out. What does that mean? Have a omer zetar. It means strictly you're using that. It means strictly a razor. Anything else is not. Rabbi Elazar omer, I feel luck of the malak of Ritni. He disagrees and he says if you use these types of tools, you would be chayiv. Says the Gemara, let's understand Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Manavshach, igam gzeri shava. If we're going to learn gzeri shava, that regarding what it says by Yisrael, regarding what it says by the Kahanim, leboi, so then you should have to have a tar, only a razor. V'loy gomer gzeri shava, and if he doesn't learn the gzeri shava, and therefore he doesn't require tar, so the misparayim nami, so then even scissors should be prohibited. Says the Maral Gom Gzer Shava. Ksava, and his opinion is that it's not only a razor that's used for Giluach, Hani Nami, Malaknet and Rehitni are also used. Malaknet and Rehitni also used for shaving. So we learned now that the Torah teaches us that it's only usher with a razor, with derech giluach. The razor is what plucks out the hair from the root, and it also has to be derech giluach. The Sefer Beis Hillel says, what about they used to have some sort of a cream that removed the hair? So the Beis Hillel holds that using that cream on the beard is prohibited because it plucks out the hairs entirely, and it's considered a derech hashchasa. The Noida Behuda disagrees. He says that is not considered, using the cream is not considered a derech giluach, and since it's not considered a derech giluach, it's permitted. So as we've been learning, there are two separate averis. There's the avera which we just discussed of pas sakonam legalechu, and then there's the other avera of loy sakifu pas roishchem, not cutting off the payas. The opinion of the Rambam is that the conditions that we just spoke about shaving a beard also apply to the payas harosh. And therefore, according to Rambam, cutting the payas with scissors is permitted. Just like we learned in the Gemara just now, that cutting the beard with a scissors a mutter. Tosfos disagrees, and he says that it's forbidden to cut the payas harosh with scissors, because the din that we just learned of derech hashchasa only applies to the beard, not to the payas. Shulchan Aruch, as we mentioned in previous shiurim, cites both opinions, and he says that one should be machmer with Tosfos' opinion and not use scissors to cut the payas. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that just as Tosfos says that Derech Hashchasa does not apply to Payas, Derech Giluach also does not apply. And therefore, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, one should not even pull out the hairs of his Payas, even though he's just pulling them out, let's say, by hand, which is not a Derech Giluach at all. He says that since Tosfos, and the Shulchan Aruch is quoting Tosfos' opinion, says that the Halacha Payas Arosh and pas zaken are so different, doing anything to pull out the payas harosh would be usur. The Chasam Sofer disagrees with his father-in-law, and therefore Rabbi Akiva Eger says that just like we find that a nazir who has to be careful about not removing any hair, the halacha about a nazir is that a nazir is not allowed to comb his hair, because when one combs his hair, it's quite possible he's going to pull out hair. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, every person has to be careful not to comb his payas, because it will cause that they should come out. And as he's saying now, any cause of the payas harosh coming out would be a violation of the avera, even if it's not derech giluach and even if it's not derech hashchasa. The Chasam Sofer disagrees with his father-in-law, and the Chasam Sofer's opinion is that combing payas are permitted, even if it will cause that some of them will come out. And the Chasam Sofer at that point brings down that as long, the opinion of the Rambam, as long as one has 40 hairs, says the Chasam Sofer, he has fulfilled the obligation of payas harosh. So even if by combing your payas, you're going to cause that some of them should come out, Chasam Sofer says it doesn't bother him, because the Rambam tells us that all you need is that you have to have 40 hairs. The difficulty with the Chasam Sofer is that the Shulchan Aruch clearly does not agree with the Rambam, because the Shulchan Aruch does not bring down this halacha of the 40 hairs. So it seems that the opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that all the hairs have to be left for the mitzvah Peis Harosh. And if you're not allowed to pull them out, then you're not allowed to pull them out. If you now, says the Mishnah, Kaisuf Ksuvus Kaka. Ksuvus Kaka is a tattoo. Kaisuf Lekaka. So the way it's done is that they cut into the skin a design or letters more, as we will discuss, and put into it ink, which remains there permanently. So says the Mishnah, Kosov Lekaka, if he wrote but he didn't cut into the skin, or Kaka Lekosov, or he cut into the skin but he didn't write anything, Ein Echayev, it's not considered that you violated this lav, Achi Yichta V'Kaka, until you both write and cut. But D'yoy, it has to be, that cut has to be with ink, or B'chol, or different type of color, or B'chol Dov Shiroshim, anything that leaves a permanent mark. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Rav Shimon Omer, Ein Chayiv Ad Sheyichtav Shem as Hashem. You're not chayiv until you write the Shem. Shnem v'ksoivus kaka lo sitna b'chem ani Hashem. Any ksoivus kaka is also. There's a machlokes rishonim. Exactly how was it normally done? The opinion of the Rivan was they would write first, and they would make a design with ink or whatever, and then afterwards put in the cut the skin with a needle. The Rambam says it was the other way. The first they made the cut, and then they filled it up with ink. And there's a machlokes how to understand these opinions. According to these opinions, if you didn't do it in that fashion, would you be chayiv or not? However, the Shach says that since we have Rishonim that say both ways, so says the Rambam, says the Shach, that no matter how the tattoo was made, if it was the ink and then the cutting or vice versa, you're going to be chayiv. There is another opinion that some achronim want to suggest, that if you did only one without the other, even though the malchus, which is the subject of our perek, won't be applicable, but there will still be an issa deraisa because it will be considered chatzis shir. If you did half an aveira, it's chatzis shir, it's osam min ha-Torah, there's just no punishment. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Barei D'Rav Ala Rav Ashi. When we said at the end of the Mishnah, Ad Sheyichtav Hashem, what does that mean? Does it mean Ad the Yichtav Ani Hashem Mamish, that you write the words Ani Hashem? Amalei, to which he said, Loi. Doesn't mean that you have to write the Shem Hashem. Kiratani Bakapara and Echayv at Sheyichtav Shev Avoid the Zorah. If you write the name of Avoid the Zorah, you also chayv. Shnemek Soivus Kakal Esas Bechem Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem V'loy Acher. And what this means to say, says the Ritva, is if you engrave, you write the name of Avoid the Zorah that they knew they worshipped, that's what the lav is, because you're showing by making this permanent mark in your body, that you are connecting Rachman al Tzlan yourself to that Aveira. But says the Gemara, Amar Malki, Amar of Adabar Hava. Osl Adam Sheetan Efe Makla. A person is not allowed to put ash, Agabi Makla. So apparently that was one of the ways that they healed themselves. And certainly it's not doing a tattoo, but still Osr. It looks like a tattoo. When somebody sees this, it looks like he has a tattoo, which really opens up the entire discussion. What does it mean when we speak about what is the Isser? So certainly the Isser, the Raisa, is when it's done in a it has to be done in a permanent fashion. According to many, it has to be done where you write letters. Just a design is not considered. And it has to be, as we said, permanent. Which opens up the discussion. Apparently, there are certain ways of making makeup. And if you want to have the makeup on the body on a permanent basis, you could put that makeup on as a tattoo. But would that be mutter or asr? And it seems that the opinion of the Paiskim is that it won't be necessarily osa daraisa because it's not a letter and it may, but it's still permanent. And even if it's not done with cutting into the skin, it's still, as we just learned in the Gemara, anything that looks like a tattoo is usur. Anything that looks like tattoo, even just putting ash on the body, looks like it and is, and therefore usur. The question is, if removing a tattoo, is that mutter or not usur? There's a discussion in the Cheshukei Chemed that speaks about when we learn now in our Gemara that one may not have a tattoo, how are we to understand this Gemara? Does it mean, obviously it means that one may not have a tattoo put on his body. That doesn't need to be discussed. The question is there an Isser for a Jew to have a tattoo on his body? And if there's an Isser for a Jew to have a tattoo on his body, that would mean that if somebody, Rachman Slon, has a tattoo on their body, they should have it removed, which is, of course, very relevant to people who went through World War II. And as we unfortunately know, in the concentration camps, they tattooed all of the Jewish prisoners. Though, is there a point to remove that tattoo? Rabbi Lezer Silver says that there is, that the Isser is, as we're learning in our Gemara, the putting of the tattoo on the body. There is no Isser, if somebody already has a tattoo, Rachman Son, he has no chiv to have it removed. And being that that's the case, he says, not only should those Jews not have that, not need to have their tattoo removed, they should definitely not remove the tattoo. He explains that just like there's a din we have every year, Parsha Zohar, Zohar Sh'oslucha Malik, and we have to remember what they did. This is the greatest remembrance, to remember what our enemies did to us. And that's why he says, for example, that the halacha is that if there's blood splattered on a wall from a Jew that was murdered, you can't clean off that blood. It has to stay there as a remembrance. The Shas Chuvis Mamakim says that this is the greatest way of included in the Kiddush Hashem that the Jews that went through the war created, walking around with that tattoo and still acting as a Jew, as a proud Jew, and following Torah mitzvahs is the greatest Kiddush Hashem. That no matter what they do to us, they can't take away anything from us. Says the Gemara. Amrav Nachman Berei Dravika, Shvud. The Gemara Masechta Bei tells us that they would grill meat on a spit on Yontif. And now the question is, are you allowed to move it? Because it becomes Muksa Muksa Machmas Mias. And therefore the Gemara says there that we should just put it aside and not move it. Shvachis, the Gemara Masechta Ksubas Daf Nem Tes Nun Tes on the base teaches us that a woman who brought in, after she got married, many slaves who could take care of whatever she has to do is not exempt from doing anything in the home. Says Rabbi Lezer that even if she brought in many shivchis, she has to do something, because the Gemara says Batola Mevila De Zima. If somebody acts, doesn't do anything, it could act, it could bring to immorality. Gumis, the Mara Masechta Nida, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, speaks about a girl who's 12 years old, who at one point brought the Shtei Saris, and now they're not there. She's still considered an adult. To which Rav Chelba, in the name of Rav Huna, says, if the place where it was here previously still has pores, if they don't have pores, not, but if they have pores, even if there's no hair coming out of them, she's a gdoila. All of this was said by Reb Malkia. Blurious, the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph, teaches us that if a Jew gives a haircut to a Nochri, and the Nochrim had a very specific hairstyle that they had their hair cut, demonstrating their devotion to the Avodah Zarah, when the Jewish barber gets close to that spot, he should just not touch the hair. Eifer Mikla, what we just discussed, putting ash on a wound that looks like it's there permanently. Gavina, that the Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis speaks to us, that Gvinas Akum, the may not be eaten. And the Gemara says, because they used to smear the cheese with pig fat, even though one can't eat such cheese, he could sell such cheese, was said by Ramalkiyo with an aleph. Rapapa has a different way of learning this. He says, Masnisan o Masnisa, anything which is a Mishnah or a Brisa, was taught by Ramalkiyo with the aleph. Shmaitza, something that was just taught by the Amoraim, was taught by Ramalkiyo with the Vav, the Simonach. And the way to remember this, says Rapapa, Masnisa, Malkasa, the king, the Mishnah, the Brisa, are superior, Malkasa, over what is taught in by the Amoraim. And the Gemara says, Mai Benayu. So what, if we follow Rapapa's identification of who said what would be the Nafkamina? Says the Gemara, the Nafkamina would be Shvachos. What the Relazer said, that if somebody brought Shvachos, she still has to do something. According to Rav Nachman, it was said by Rav Malkiya. According to Rav Papa, since this was referred to in a Mishnah, it was said by Rav Malkiya. Rabbi Bibi Kopid, when he spoke about not having any permanent marks on one's body, would do a fila rivda de kaslisa. If somebody had blood let and there was a small puncture from where they made the injection, he would say that puncture cannot be covered with ash, because again, looking like a tattoo. Rashi Makom Makom Sheish My Maka, he says that when it's evident that there's a wound there, that Makosoi Machichalov, the wound shows that that's why he has this mark and there is no issue of a tattoo. Says the Mishnah, Nazar Shashayin Kalayim, if a Nazar is drinking wine all day long, and before he began drinking wine, he was warned, you're not allowed to drink wine. The halacha is, ein chayiv el achas, he'll only get one set of malchus. Why? So the Rivan says, because since there was only one hasra, and he explains that when we speak often in our shiurim about the halacha of hasra says that before you did the avera, you have to have that hasra. So if a nazir was about to drink wine, and he gets hasra, you're not allowed to drink wine. So now he's going to get malchus for violating that hasra. But if he goes to drink wine a second time, that second time that he drinks wine, there is no hasra on that. Because the original hasra, for the first time that he drank wine, was given too long ago. Because hasra has to be toich kedei dibur of the avera. So since the hasra has to be toich kedei dibur of the avera, here it wasn't toich kedei dibur of the avera, and it's not a valid hasra, and that's why you only get one malchus. That's the Rivan's understanding of our Mishnah. Tosis explains that, yes, it all starts with the lack of hasra, but even though it starts with the lack of hasra, the issue here is that there has to be something separating all the acts of drinking. If there is nothing like hasra to separate all the acts of drinking, it's considered one long act. And since it's considered one long act, in a chayiv al achas. However, says the Mishnah, Amr loy al tishta, if he was warned separately, v'ushoysa, then chayiv al achas v'achas, because either he had the proper hasra, or it separates each act. Similarly, if we have a nazir who's not allowed to become tamei to meis, if they warn him separately each time, chayiv a kolachas v'achas. He was cutting his hair, and which of course the nazir may not do either. Ein a chayiv alachas. Amr loy al tegalach al tegalach v'umegaleach chayiv a kolachas v'achas. Lovish beklaim kolayim. He's wearing klaim all day, and he was warned before he put on the klaim that you're not allowed to do that. Then the loch is chayiv a kolachas v'achas. Amr loy al tishta al tibash al tibash. He keeps on being warned, and v'upayshiv lovish, and he keeps on taking off and putting on the klaim. Chayiv a kolachas v'achas. Says the Mishnah, yesh chayrish talam echad. You could have a person who is using two different animals to plow a field. And this one act could be bring eight different lavim. If you did it together with a shor chamor, that's considered klayim. There's a machloikis rishonim. When there's an issa klayim of working with different types of animals at the same time, does it dafka have to be like the example we just give, a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal, a shor v'chamor? What would be the halacha that if it's two different types of animals, but they're both kosher? The opinion of the Rivan is that it still will be considered klayim, even though they're both kosher animals. The opinion of the Rambam is that that's only osur midrabbanan. Hacharish b'shor v'chamor, ve'im mekudoshim, they have a kedusha, their b'char, and the Torah Kedusha says, lo'y savoid b'char k'shirachem, the klayim b'kerem, and the field that he's doing this in is a field that is growing klayim. He's doing it in the Shemitah year, and it's doing it on Yontif. So, of course, the Rishon and the Mishnah Lamelech asked the question, why would he be chayiv on Yontif? If it's already the Shemitah year, so then it already became also to plow on this field. Once it became also to plow on this field from the beginning of the year, so now when the Yontif comes, this ought to be a situation of Ein Issa Chalal Issa. So the simple answer he gives is that the Tana here holds that Issa Chalal Issa. You could have one Issa on top of another Issa. Another explanation is that our Mishnah is speaking about that even though you're not allowed to plant in a field, you're not allowed to work in a field already from before Shemitah, different details, but there is a case, Esenatius, where the Isser only begins in Rosh Hashanah. So the Yontif that's being mentioned here is Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, since it's Rosh Hashanah, so the two Isurim of Shemitah and Rosh Hashanah came at the same time. Another explanation that he suggests is that when we have an Issa Maisif, where the second Issa brings more Isurim than the first Issa, we say Issa Chalal Issa. And he says that on Shemitah, we're only not allowed to work on the field something which is an Av Malacha. In Yontif, we're not allowed to do any Malachas. So since there are more Malachas that are Asur on Yontif than on Shemitah, we do say Issa Chalal Issa. But the Karen Oira has a different way of answering this question. He says, when we think about the Isser of working on Yontif, and we think about the Isser of working on Shemitah, they're different type of Isurim. He says the Isser to work on Shemitah on the field is the Issa Cheftza. One is not allowed to work on the field on the Yontif year. That's an Issa Cheftza. Whereas, he says, the Isser on working on Yontif is an Issa Gavra. You, the Gavra, you, the person, is not allowed to do Malach on Yontif. So he suggests that if we have two different type of Isurim, one is an Issa Gavra and one is an Issa Cheftza, there is no concept of Ein Issa Chalal Issa. The Yontif, the Kohen, the person who's doing this Avod is a Kohen, who happens also to be a Nazir, and he's walking into Beis HaTumah. This is a graveyard and a cemetery, and therefore these Isurim apply also. We can add some more lavim. Afaloivish klayim. If the person who's doing this is wearing shatness, amaloi ein Hashem. This doesn't belong in this group because it's the wearing of the shatness is not part of is not. It doesn't connect to the actual work that's being done. Amalem, so he says, if that's the approach you're going to take, so then Afanazir, one of the Isurim we spoke about is that this individual is a Nazir, and the Nazir also is not connected to the fact that he's doing to the actual Malacha. Says the Gemara. when we speak about the Mishnah, about putting on and taking off the klayim, that's when you chayif each one separately. Loi paishav v'loi v'shmamish. Says the Gemara doesn't require that you actually should take off the klayim to be chayif. Ella fila machnas amayisi beisyad unkali. Even if he just puts his hand in and out of the sleeve, he's going to be chayiv. And says the Gemara, Machvi Rachab Reda Avika, Yuli Vafuki. What it means is that you put your hand in and out of the garment. Ravashi says you don't have to actually do that. I feel like Shaul could they lift shit a little bit. Even if you spent enough time wearing the garment that you could have taken it off and put it back on, the halacha is chayiv. Says, so all the Rishonim asked the obvious question on what Ravashi just taught us. If he didn't actually put on the garment again, so it's a lav by Maisa. And we've learned so many times in our Masechta that you don't get Malkus for lav shein by Maisa. So Taisus and Masechta Shavuos, to answer this question, says that to be considered a lav shein by Maisa, it means that there was no mice involved at all in this lav. Here, you first time you put on the garment, there was obviously a mice. That's enough to make it into a lav shesh b'maisa. Another teretz that Ritva suggests, Ritva says that since he's wearing the garment, it's a big chiddush, he says that the wearing of the garment is considered a lav shesh b'maisa, which is a chiddush. And the Ritva himself asks on it, that shouldn't be really considered a lav shesh b'maisa. We learned in the Mishnah, yesh charim shtalem, you could be somebody working, plowing a field, and get eight lavin. Amar Rabbi Yonai, b'chabura nimna v'gamru, they taught in the yeshiva, ha'choyfe b'klayim, if you have different types of things growing, and you cover up them up with earth, like it's considered that you did yichayv for planting klayim. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, la Mishnah sinu zu. Isn't this explicit where we learned in the Mishnah? Because we just learned in our Mishnah. Yesh chayrish tolem echad v'chayv lo v'shum sh'man alavim. Ha'chayrish b'shar b'chamor v'hem mekadoshim v'klayim b'kerim. Hai chayrish b'chayim shum klayim. So says Rabbi Yochanan, when our Mishnah says that yichayv for klayim in the act that was just mentioned in our Mishnah, heichim mishkachsla, what is presumably the case? Lav the mixi behadivazel. As you're traveling with these animals, you're covering up the seeds. So we see that that's considered klayim. Amalei. So says the Gemara. Rabbi Yanai said to Rabbi Yochanan when he said this to him, ilav the deloy chaspa mimishgachen meganusa tuva. If I were to pick up the earthenware, would you have not found the diamond under you? In other words, he said to him, I told you this halacha. After I told you this halacha, then you were able to start thinking and saying, yes, this halacha is actually correct, and it's what's taught in our Mishnah. As many Mefarshim explain, that on the bottom of the sea, there are these wonderful jewels, and these jewels are covered by pieces of earthenware that cover up those jewels. And what was being said here was that I showed you this, I put you on the right track, and by putting you on this right track, you were able to discover this beautiful vart, this beautiful diamond. The Pasuk says the Sfasemis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'era El Avram Yitzchak Vel Yaakov. And the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chaval al da'avdin. I grieve over the loss of the Avis. And the Sfasemis asks a question that Shmi Hashem lo nadat ilhem. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told the name of Hashem that weren't said to the Avis. So if that's the case, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than the Avis. So why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say, I missed the Avis? Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems, was greater than the Avis. Answers the Sfasemis, based on our Gemara. How was Moshe Rabbeinu able to achieve to be on the level of Shmi Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them the Shem Hashem, because he had in previous generations the Ovis. When you have in previous generations the Ovis, then you could become a person that knows the Shem Hashem. And that's what the Gemara, that's what's being taught here. When you start somebody off on the right track, then afterwards he could go very far. If not, that Rabbi Yannai said that you're a great person, and that this halacha that we just learned could be taught from our Mishnah, have a nina masnisa mani rikivihi, I would say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who holds mechaim klaim loika, that even just having klaim in your possession, you're chayiv. But the Rabbanan opinion is that just having klaim is not usur. You have to do something. And therefore, I would not have known from the Mishnah itself that that just covering up the seeds is enough. My Rabbi Kiva. So ask them, where do we see that this is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that just being Mekayim Klayim is loika? The Tanya, the Mishnah says, Hamanakish, somebody who weeds out bad seeds. Vamechapa Klayim, or somebody covers up seeds of different types, loika. Rabbi Kiva, af Mekayim loika. Says the Gemara, my time of Rabbi Kiva. Why would Rabbi Kiva say that just keeping klaim in your possession is a reason to get malchus? The Tanya Sotcha says of klaim, only elazareya. So the pasuk says that you did an action, a planting, mikayim minayim, just having keeping klaim in your property. Why do we know we usher? Tamloim klaim sotcha loy. You may not have klaim in your field, and you may not do anything that will keep the klaim to exist in your property.